Hello and welcome to the KBC Well Good podcast with me, Jerry Hussing. I'm a performance psychologist, passionate about helping people reconnect to the best version of themselves, helping them reawaken and ignite their inner passion and ability through the power of the mind. I've been lucky to work with some of the world's best athletes and business people, and can't wait to share the simple yet powerful tips proven to help you be at your best. I'm going to be joined by a number of guests in conversation to tease out those tips. I hope you enjoy it. Hi everyone, it's Jerry here, and delighted to be joined with Annabelle, Marketing Manager at Wellfest, who is currently helping us get ready for Wellfest, which will probably be the best for sure, and the biggest Wellfest yet. So Annabelle, we're going to be talking in today's podcast about sleep and recovery. I hope you're getting lots of that at the moment, because you'll certainly need it come what will be the biggest Wellfest yet. But I think these are two of the most underrated things in human health and performance at the minute. And I know, Annabelle, you're doing some reading on this at the moment, and it's something you're passionate about. So if we look at sleep and recovery, and I'm going to start off by saying they're probably the two most underrated aspects of human health and performance. And we'll see. We'll explore all of that in detail, the logic behind it, the myths behind sleep, and also the science behind sleep. And Annabelle, you're going to help me unlock and uncover this, because in some areas you might be more qualified than I. But I'm looking forward to a great conversation. So thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Jerry. No, it's great to be here. And it is, yeah, such a hot topic at the moment. I think we're all finally kind of waking up to how important sleep is. Books like Matthew Walker's Why We Sleep just kind of had a light bulb moment for me on just how important it is, and just some of the things that we might be doing that are just not helping us in our sleep and recovery, and just why it's so important for all aspects of our health. So yeah, great to be here.
You're very welcome. One of the questions you've been asking me, Annabelle, and you can reword it yourself, is, and you were laughing because I used to say that sleep was a waste of time, but you know, the function of the purpose of sleep. So I think maybe we'll start there. You know, why do we sleep? Yeah. So do you think that's a good place to start?
Absolutely. Why do you think it, or how does it affect the physical body, would you say, Jerry?
And that's it. And that is the point. So sleep for me, as I mentioned, I used to think it was a waste of time, because I was very ambitious. I want to get things done. I want to get lots of things done, and I need more time. So the one thing I was happy to sacrifice on was sleep. And then as you learn and grow and be educated a little bit more, you realize that you are depriving yourself of something so important, because we're naturally designed to sleep. Sleep isn't something that we do just because we have nothing else to be doing at that time. Sleep isn't something that we do just because it's dark outside and we can't go out playing football. Sleep is a natural and vital part of being human. It's something that has an ability to impact us from a mental point of view, so mental clarity, decision making, composure, but also from an emotional point of view. You know, it helps us limit feelings of anxiety. It limits feelings of depression. It's really, nothing impacts mood better than sleep.
Yeah.
And physically, it is, sleep has, and we'll explore this more, but it has such a key role in our digestion, in our skin, in the way we release toxins from the body. So while you sleep, many of us think we're lying there doing nothing, but while you sleep, your brain is regenerating, your gut and your gut lining is repairing, re-energizing, your emotions and your thoughts are being filtered, so that when we wake up, we'll wake up with a system that has been filtered, that has been cleared, and that has been being energized. And that allows us to continue that regeneration, regrowth, and we start the day afresh. So that's just a brief outline of sleep is so important, and it affects us from a cognitive point of view, from an emotional point of view, and from a physical point of view.
Yeah. And how many hours would you say people need? Is it between 7 and 9? I know lots of people would say, actually, I get by totally fine on 6 hours. And, you know, that's all I have time for. 6 hours. I've got so much on in work that, you know, 6 hours is fine for me. What would you say about that, Jerry?
Yeah. So that's something, Annabelle, that I hear all the time. People say, oh, I can survive on 6. And you can. And if I had 3 gallons of diesel, and I was willing to drive at 15 miles an hour. I probably could get my car from Dublin to Galway on 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But is that what you want?
Yeah.
You can survive on 5 or 6 hours of sleep, but is that what you want? Do you want to be trundling through life, slow, underpowered, making poor decisions? And when you think about your life, is surviving actually what you want, or would you prefer to thrive? So for me, it's this idea. Of course, you can survive on 5 or 6 hours. And there might be times in your life where you chew maybe a young baby in the house, different things. There might be a period in your life where that's all you can get and that's okay.
Yeah.
But in the big picture, it's about two things. One is sleep quality and sleep duration, and both go hand in hand. I believe 8 to 9 hours is what we need. But when we sleep is really important. So your circadian rhythms, which is what releases melatonin, is naturally designed to, once daylight hours start to appear, once we're exposed to sunlight, the body naturally starts to decrease the melatonin in our body, which allows us to feel more alert, more awake. Which means that as well as having a natural cycle when melatonin decreases, it also has a natural cycle when it increases. So it is naturally designed to flood your system with melatonin coming to the end of
the day
as the sun goes down, as things start to get dark. So when you start to work within that cycle, your body starts to create a natural sleep pattern. However, what happens now is that because we're on our phones and on our screens and we're drinking coffee and processed food late into the night, we're not allowing the body to feel that natural order of unwinding.
Mm.
So the blue light from a screen, it directly impacts the amount of light being taken in by the retina of the eye. So it impacts the brain and it stops it from releasing melatonin. It's breaking the circadian rhythm. So your brain wakes back up again.
Yeah.
So that's the impact. We have to follow a natural pattern and we have to allow the body to follow this daybreak patterns and these nighttime patterns. And we'll talk later about simple routines. We have an inbuilt natural pattern that are called circadian rhythms, and that releases very powerful chemical into our system that allows us to get sleepy and drowsy and fall asleep, and then allows us to wake up. But unless we're willing to work within those patterns, we're breaking it.
Yeah, I understand, like, even so it's not just the phone or the TV, it could be even the lights in your house. So we often have really bright lights in the house. So at nighttime, it's great to try and turn it down to an amber light, have that different setting for the lights around your house as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think most of us everyday people who work in an office space, you know, for most of the day, you're living in an unnatural light environment.
Yeah.
You're breathing unnatural air-conditioned air.
Yeah.
You're eating unnatural processed food. So everything in your body, we are natural beings. We're natural beings born to be in nature. And just like trees, flowers and tides and everything has a natural order and a rhythm to it, so have we. But the more we take ourselves out of nature, the more we spend time in buildings that are not natural, the more that we eat foods that are not natural, is the more we're taking ourselves out of our natural rhythms, which one is sleep.
Yeah.
And in terms of the timing of sleep, I said how long we sleep is important. But when you think of timing of sleep, you know, your body, when in these natural cycles, one of the most powerful cycles around rest and digest that we have happens between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Okay.
That's really, really important because that allows us to break down food, flush out toxins. That allows the gut to heal, to digest and repair. A lot of us now, we're still eating late. So we're having our last meals at maybe 8 or 9, or we're having a snack before we go to bed, or we're drinking caffeine or drinking something. And what that is doing is it's stopping that pattern to happen. That hour is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Most of us find at 10 p.m. we're still up and we're still active. And
yeah.
Some of us are still eating. So not only are we not getting the sleep, but our gut is not getting the digestion it needs. And that leads to weight gain. It leads to all types of bad gut health, because that critical window that we need every night, we're not utilizing it.
No. I think that's a really important point on gut health. And Orla Walsh, a registered dietitian, is going to be speaking in the programme about gut health with some really helpful tips, and sleep is certainly one of them. And I think caffeine is a really important point as well, because, and Orla Walsh mentions this too, it takes about 12 hours to leave your system. So you want to be having that last one or two coffees a day, and that last one before midday. So I think some of us would have a coffee in the afternoon just to get us through the afternoon. But I think the research shows that caffeine is not leaving your system. And even if you are managing to fall asleep, if your sleep was analysed, you're probably not going into that deep sleep. The quality of sleep isn't as good as it could be. So the next morning, you're not going to wake up as refreshed. And it's kind of a bit of a cycle, I think. Would you say that, yeah, too, Jerry?
I agree totally, Annabelle. And I will also go a little further and challenge, why are we drinking coffee at all? If I said to you that I was having 3 cigarettes every day at 3 o'clock to get me through the afternoon, what would you say to me?
I'd say that's terrible for your health. So don't do it, Jerry.
So if I said I'm having processed caffeine every day to get me through the day, what would you say?
Yeah.
We have to wake up. Mm. We have to look at, what am I putting into my system? And in the podcast I did with Anthony around behavioural change, when you drink the caffeine, the effect of the caffeine has actually nothing to do really with what's in the cup. It's the dopamine.
Yeah.
Because we take a drink of the caffeine and instantly we feel better. But caffeine can't hit the system that quick. So we're fooling ourselves, and we're fooling ourselves into taking something that's destructive to our system.
Yeah.
So it's not about we have to cut caffeine out, but it's why. Why do I drink caffeine? And if you're saying I drink caffeine because I'm tired, then the only long-term solution is sleep. It comes back to sleep.
Yeah.
Not only are you saving your body from the impact of caffeine, but you're actually saving a whole lot of money. And the amount of, and sometimes people will say, well, I have a coffee in the morning and I have one in the afternoon. But the one in the afternoon is usually accompanied with a chocolate bar or something. Because when we lack sleep, when we're in and lack of sleep and stress shows up in the body, in the system, in the exact same way. So this acute stress that's caused by lack of sleep, when we're in a stress state, our body naturally craves fast-releasing sugars. So it wants caffeine, it wants processed food, it wants carbohydrates, it wants sugar. So that's why we crave those things. By adding in a little bit more sleep, you start to crave different food. You start to crave better food. So it's that self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah.
If I can start to build in better sleep, I naturally then start to want different type of foods. I want more water. I want more nuts. I want more healthy food. And even the financial benefit that goes with that can't be underestimated.
No.
But it is challenging ourselves. If you're saying I need a caffeine because I'm feeling tired, the only solution to tiredness is sleep.
And I think a point you make as well is about rest. So say, in that point in the afternoon where you're really tired, you need something to pick you up, perhaps it's actually more about just taking 10 minutes for some rest.
Mm. Absolutely. So one of the most powerful things I've discovered is breathing. And, as an athlete who trained very hard for years, I always believed that a deep breath was something like, sucking your chest out and your stomach goes in. And what I've discovered really, and I'm sure in our yoga piece, we'll go through this in greater detail and better than I can, but this idea of belly breathing, so that as I breathe in, my belly comes out. So the way I think about it is, as I breathe in, I get to a stage where I feel like I'm 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And for me, that was opposite to the way I used to breathe. I was breathing wrong for years. So when we talk about rest, something as simple as breath, and we all have our breath, no matter what's happening around us at any given minute, we have the choice to breathe. And what happens is, as we breathe through our stomach, it is not just impacting our brain and bringing clarity and allowing the prefrontal cortex to open up, but it's also your digestion through that breath. It's incredible, the power. So recovery for me could be simple as, when I sit in the car, before I start the car, I take 10 deep breaths. When I get to work and I turn on my laptop, while my laptop is lighting up, I'll take 10 deep belly breaths. So I build those regularly in through my day. And then also very simple stuff like, when I wake up in the morning, what would going out and walking for 5 or 6 minutes look like? What would getting down and doing 15 press-ups make me feel like? So when you wake up and you're in that sluggish state, what would wakening myself up look like? And that could be 10 burpees. And I know in Philly's part of the program, real powerful but simple exercise routines that you can do anywhere. So when you see the burpees, the press-ups, the simple stuff, a yoga, what would jumping onto your yoga mat for 15 minutes look like? So we can re-energize our mind and body through so many other stuff.
And it doesn't have to be stimulants.
It doesn't have to be an artificial stimulant. It is a natural movement, a natural thought, a natural activity that we're designed to do. And I think that's the great thing about this program is that it gives people... So rest is about resting and breathing, but rest is also about giving yourself something that energizes you. So sometimes when we're tired in life, the bigger question is, what are you tired of? I'm tired of my job, or I'm tired of a relationship, or I'm tired of, and then the question is, well, what would stimulate you? So when you feel tired, ask yourself, what would actually stimulate me? And that could be a walk, that could be 10 burpees, it could be 10 press-ups, it could be dance for 2 or 3 minutes, take 5 deep breaths.
Could be something creative, perhaps.
Something creative. Put on my favourite song and dance for 3 minutes. Just reactivate myself.
Yeah. That's a really good point, Jerry. I think we're getting on to the routines now, morning routine, nighttime routine. Is there anything you've learned and anything you've built into your day, Jerry, that you found really helpful?
Absolutely. I think, Annabelle, the first thing I learned was belief. And in with Anthony, I spoke about, in order to change any behaviour, you have to change the belief. My belief for too long was crazy. It was that sleep was something I fitted in when I had everything else done. Now I know that in order for me to have a good day, the platform for a good day starts the night before.
Yeah.
I respect and value myself enough to give myself every opportunity to succeed. And that starts with sleep. It is singly the most important thing I do. So I had to start a process of building a habit. But it didn't mean I could just go to sleep at 9 o'clock. So the first thing I had to do was make the decision to turn the TV off at 9 o'clock, get into bed by 10 o'clock. And then sometimes I'd be sitting there, I said, well, I'm not sleepy, maybe I'll get back up. And I said, no, but at least I'm resting. So you start to build in a routine. So 2 hours before you want to be asleep, you have to turn off blue light because it is stopping melatonin. So come off screens. Look at what I'm eating 2 hours before I want to sleep. Because come 10 p.m., your rest and digest starts to happen and you have to be ready for that. Secondly, what am I thinking about? If I'm sending work emails, if I'm listening to Sky News, if I'm, you know, tuned into stuff that's driving thoughts about tomorrow, thoughts about the past, driving anxious thoughts, it's very hard to sleep. So what is it that I'm exposing myself to, not just from a food point of view, but also from an emotional point of view? So I started to develop these routines where I would naturally turn the television off. And these were the little wins that I could celebrate. I turned the TV off. That was step number one. I got myself into the bed. And then sometimes I'd start reading a nice book, a book that I was interested in. Or I'd listen to nice music. And slowly then a new habit started building. And then most nights come 10 o'clock, I had the TV plugged out before I even knew it. I was on the way to the bed thinking, how is this happening? And then once you start to build that habit, your body and your mind associates your bedroom with nothing but sleep.
Yeah.
So there's no technology in my room. There's no TV in my room. There's no work-related anything in my... So my bedroom now has one purpose. So the minute I walk into my bedroom, it triggers a physical, mental and emotional response that it's time to sleep. So that is the routines. And then in the morning also, I have very simple routines when I wake up. And sometimes I wake up and my first thought is, oh my God, can't believe it's another day. I have the same thoughts that everybody else has. But the only question I ask myself, well, is this a thought or is this an emotion that I want to take into the day with me? And usually I say no. So the first thing I do is just take 10 deep breaths, these deep belly breaths that I'm sure we'll get exposed to more. And I'm looking forward to more and learn through the yoga part of this program. But I just take 10 deep breaths and then I start to ask, what am I really grateful for? And the more I fire the neurological pathways in my brain to see the things and the people that I'm really grateful for, it fires a different part of the brain. Now I'm out of the stress part of the brain and I'm into a different part of the brain. Emotionally then, the cortisol isn't dripping into my system anymore. And while I'm thinking of the people I love and the memories that I hold dear, instead of cortisol being released into my system, oxytocin starts to get released in. And oxytocin is an incredible drug. It makes you feel calm. It makes you feel relaxed. So I think about gratitude. Then the next piece for me is simple prayer, because faith is very important and spirituality is important in my life. I'll say some prayers. And that allows me to just think about being open, not trying to control everything, realizing that I mightn't have the answer to everything today. But if I can be kind, if I can be a good person, that's actually all I want to be today. And then the last piece I think about is, what's the type of person I'd like to be in today? What's the type of person I'd like to meet today? What would they talk about? What would their body language be like? And then, can I be that person? All those little steps take about 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all. And sometimes if I'm under a little bit of time pressure, I'll go through most of that while I'm in the shower.
Okay.
Because people think, I haven't time for those routines. But most people will take a shower every morning, and most people's showers are 7 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing while you're in the shower? What are you doing while
thinking
you're
thinking about my emails.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing while you're brushing your teeth? Could you hold a yoga pose while you brush your teeth? Could you stand on one leg? Because when you're doing any one of these things, they're firing the neurological pathways to fire in a new way. That changes the emotion. Instead of cortisol being released, oxytocin is being released. If you can take control of your first 15 minutes, that last 45 minutes, if you can control your first 45 minutes of the day, it is amazing. Everything else opens up. If you let the first 45 minutes of your day slip away from you, you're going to be chasing that day for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point. And I actually find myself, if I do something when I wake up, something for me, some kind of movement, stretching, the gym, I'm just automatically more positive for the whole rest of the day. And it has a really powerful impact on the rest of my day. And I guess that will impact the night, how well you sleep, and then the next day, and it goes in a positive cycle.
It is, and it's exactly that, Annabelle. It's a cycle, and it's a cycle of thoughts and emotions, and it is about being positive. And sometimes for me, it's not even about being positive. It's about being present. And even when I wake up in the morning, if I'm stiff, if I'm sore, if I'm angry, or if I'm, not to run away from that. The first thing is ask is, how am I feeling? And accept that. That's okay. Be present to that. I think the single biggest gift that sleep has given me, along with the other bits and pieces I do in my life, is it has allowed me to become present in my own life. It has allowed me to be present in a moment. And those moments opened up. And when I thought all those years, I had no time, I couldn't get things done. Now that I'm sleeping and thinking different, I seem to have more time than ever. I get more things done than I've ever done before. And I have more free time off. It's like instead of 24 hours in a day, there's 48 hours in a day. And that's what happens when you become present, when you start to learn about non-attachment, when you start to get the cortisol out of your system, when you start to get oxytocin into your system, when you start to get good health, and you start to allow your good health to re-energize and repair. And now we know that we have neurological receptors in our gut. So most of our brain fibers are actually in our gut, not in the thing between our two ears. So our brain and our mind, our emotions, our thoughts are so positively impacted by our gut. And sleep is so important to that. And when you think of gut leads to skin, it leads to weight retention if we have a lot of cortisol in our system that makes us retain a lot of weight around the gut. So for me, if anybody is interested in becoming more confident, more present, if you'd like to lose weight, if you'd like clearer skin, if you'd like brighter eyes, if you'd like better hair, every single one of those things is scientifically proven to be positively impacted by sleep. So sleep and recovery for me are still the two most underestimated powerful tools or super tools in human health and performance.
I completely agree. It's not just what we're eating. It's not how much we're exercising. The third most important piece of the puzzle is our sleep and recovery. So, Jerry, what would you leave with people? Do you have a challenge for them and how they can impact their life for the positive?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is break the cycle. So make down a statement. Stop saying, oh, I can't sleep. Stop saying, I can survive on 6 hours. Make a better statement. Say, I will thrive by getting more sleep. don't say it's going to be 8 or 9 hours, but sleep is going to be a priority. And then look at what are my routines. Create a very simple evening routine. If you're one of the people that still has technology in your bedroom, you're living in the dark ages. You're like the caveman. You're like the person that believes the world is still flat. Change it. Don't get caught out. Take technology out of your room. Give yourself the gift of an old-fashioned alarm clock. And then when you wake up in the morning, what are simple routines? Is there a 5-minute yoga pose I can do? What when I wake up in the morning allows me to be present, allows me to flood my system with oxytocin? What are the habits that I have, like brushing my teeth, like taking a shower, like having my breakfast, that I'm going to do anyway, and they're going to take that time anyway? So how could I do them differently? And then regularly throughout the day, you know, our brain works in 90-minute cycles. So can I stop regularly and take 10 deep breaths? Can I stop at lunch and get out for a walk and get some fresh air? Because we are natural beings and we need to be in nature, eating things that come from nature, in light that is natural, around people who are having natural conversations about natural things. So regularly throughout the day, can I stop and take deep breaths, shake up my body? Can I shake up my thoughts? Can I surround myself with people that are having different, better conversations? And you get into this cycle where everything you do is impacted on being present, being more attentive to being in nature, eating more natural food. And once you get back into that natural cycle, your circadian rhythms will do what they're meant to do. And you'll find yourself sleeping naturally because that's what we're built to do.
Brilliant. I think there's some really, really helpful tips for everyone and great challenges for everyone to try and take part in. So I hope you found today's episode useful. Please do share your thoughts and the tips and tricks that you use on social media using our hashtag KBCWellGood. And we'll see you next time. Thanks so much, Jerry.
Not at all. Thanks, Annabelle, for joining me.